You know, it's a wonderful thing that God gives to us this privilege. When one thinks of the ignorance of the average person concerning the person of God and the work of Christ and the position of the believer in Christ, I'm amazed that God's people know so little. I can understand the world not knowing. I think they're confused. Absolutely confused. Even our educational leaders are helping to confuse our young people with respect to the things of Christ and the things of God and our relationship to Him. And I trust that these brief Bible readings in the book of Ephesians may be a source of rich blessing and helpfulness to you. And again, we come back to Ephesians chapter 6. We're dealing with the warfare of the believer. And we have taken up the fact that there's only one place where we can get our strength and our victory and our deliverance. And that is in the Lord. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We are to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we have an implacable enemy. We wrestle against Satan, the devil, and all his hosts, the principalities and powers and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. The rulers of the darkness of this age are against us. We're in a world that's no friend to the grace of God. We are really in an enemy world. We belong to God. We belong to heaven. We belong to the glory. And we're down here on business, and we've got a real job to do. God has a purpose for your life and my life. And Satan, with all his ingenuity and with all his cohorts, are determined to thwart God's purpose, not only in the church of Christ, but to thwart God's purpose in you individually. For I repeat it, God has a real purpose for your life, whoever you are and whatever you are. If the Lord has redeemed you, you're his child, then he's got a distinct purpose for your life. And Satan is going to see to it, if it's all possible, to thwart that purpose in your life. Hence, we must be occupied with our Savior. We must have the Word of God welling up in our hearts. We must put on the whole armor of God. We cannot go without one piece missing. And in our last lesson, we were dealing with the fact we ought to have our loins girded about with truth, our very vitals girded with the truth of God. We are to have our loins girded and our lamps shining, said our Savior in the Gospel through Luke. And then we are to have the breastplate of righteousness, to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And I take it this not only has to do with the righteousness of Christ, which has been imputed to us and imparted to us, but practical righteousness in our lives, that our motives would be right. And if I belong to God, if I belong to the Savior, my motives ought to be right. It may be I might fail God. It may be I might fail you. But at least that our motives be right. We might be weak in the flesh, but let our motives be right. We want to do the right thing. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then the third thing, I ought to have my feet, in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You remember in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we had that wonderful verse, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained we should walk in them. We're His workmanship. Let's prove it. In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, where Paul says, how blessed are the feet of them that bring glad tidings. We carry to the world the gospel of peace. And our feet ought to be shod with the preparation. We ought to be ready. Our lives should correspond with our message. I take it, my Christian friend, that you and I love the Savior. And we testify what the Lord can do for us and what He has done for us. Now may our practice in our lives correspond with what we teach, with what we say, with what we profess. And that our feet always be ready. May our lives always be usable. May we be available to God to bring the gospel, the wonderful good news of peace to men who are under such affliction, such deceit, and in such sin. It's an amazing thing to me that God should trust us with the gospel of His wonderful grace, which of course is the gospel of peace. You remember in Ephesians chapter 2 from verses 14 to 18, we read that our Lord is our peace, that he made peace for sinners, that he preached peace. And the moment a man accepts the Savior, he has peace with God. As he walks with the Savior, he enjoys the peace of God. And now, our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, we are to be God's messengers to bring the blessed message to others. You know, the more right we do, the more righteousness is practiced in our lives, the more we bring the gospel of peace to men, the less possibility there is for us to fail God. For our hearts being occupied with our Savior and what we have in Christ will keep us from being occupied with sin. I confess to you, and I repeat what I said yesterday, I confess to you that everything on the outside world tends to pull you down, to thwart God's purpose, to make you unclean in your thinking, unclean in your speech, unclean in your action. What can hold me back from this? Again, I repeat, the spirit, the Christian life as a supernatural life. But God has made provision for that to be wrought out in us. So let your loins be girt about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, 16, above all this, now you've got your loins girded and your breastplate of righteousness on and your feet are shod. What else do you need? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Ah, here it is. Take the shield of faith. I think I can do better than to go to Matthew chapter 4 and show how the Savior himself as a man in the midst of men met the attack of Satan, of the devil, in the wilderness. What did he do? He just put up the shield of faith. He believed what the Bible said was true, and he used the Bible. The shield of faith, he believed God. It is written. We're going to use this in a few moments when we come to the sword of the Spirit. But he used the shield of faith. You see, this is one of the things young Christians ought to have. Here, for example, a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, and for a little brief time, they're full of the joy of what they have in Christ. And then one day they fail God. They didn't intend to fail, but they failed God. They're still in the flesh, and they fail God. And immediately Satan comes along and says, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were redeemed. I thought you were forgiven. Christians don't act this way. Christians don't act this way. So you say you're not a Christian after all. You're just deceived. Listen, you stand upon the word of God. Take the shield of faith. God says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. If you believe on him that sent me, I'll give you everlasting life, and you'll never come into judgment, and you pass from death to life. That we have in Christ the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. One could go on the scriptures. What does the book say? As far as I know, I accepted Christ as Savior, and this is what God says. He didn't say, I'll save you if you stop doing this. I'll save you if you accept my Son as your Savior. There must be a growth. I am not saying you won't fail God. Christians do fail God. That's true. And Satan would take and flay us and question our faith. Now take the shield of faith. Take the word of God and say, this is what God says. This is what God says. This is what God says. I don't care what Satan says. He's a liar, and he was a liar from the beginning. You take what God says and comfort your heart and take the word of God. It's what God says. Take the shield of faith. The word of God says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Believe it. Take the shield of faith. And Satan says, you're not a Christian. This is what the book says. It's what God says. I'm going to take the shield of faith. I'm going to believe God, not the devil. And then he takes in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, Have your mind covered with the assurance of salvation. This again comes through the Word. You see, salvation is a matter of relationship. Did you hear what I said? Salvation is a matter of a relationship, but assurance is the matter of knowledge. This comes through the mind. And the more you know the Word of God, the more sure you are that you're saved. Why are so many Christians full of doubts? It's because they need to put on the helmet of salvation. They need to have their minds clear on what Christ has done for them. You know, if Christians were established in what Christ had done for them, has done for them on the cross, they wouldn't have any doubts about their salvation. I've had men say to me, "Why, Mitchell, you talk as if you really know you're saved." I said, "I am saved." "Well, that's taking too much for granted." No. I'm just believing what God says. I'm believing what God says. I have assurance of salvation because of knowledge of the Word. You see, in 2 Peter, where we have false teachers brought before us, the guard against false teachers is the Word of God. To get to know the Word of God. Knowledge. How do you get the knowledge of the Word of God? Through your mind. Through your head. That's what God's given your head for. To know things. To know things. I'm not saved by my emotions. I'm not opposed to emotions. I'm not saved by my experiences. I'm saved by putting my trust in the Savior. And the more I see this, the more sure I am that I belong to Him. Put on the helmet of salvation. My friend, have you got these things? Have you got your armor on? Look at them again. Have your loins girded about with truth? Have on the breastplate of righteousness? Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? And take the shield of faith, wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the helmet of salvation, assurance, the certainty of redemption in Christ. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be saved, and it's a glorious thing to know that you're saved, and that you're sure of it. See, Mr. Mitchell, you're talking about security. I'm talking about assurance. If Christ died for me, then He died for the whole man. He knew what I was before He saved me. And He saved me with a perfect eternal salvation and guarantees it to me in resurrection. And makes it sure to me personally by the Spirit of God. So you think about that as we fall in our next lesson on this wonderful truth.